Welcome to Wheels World, your wheel overall, powered by 3Gen Physical Therapy and Sports Performance Institute. Every week we'll be coming to you with this podcast addressing current events, sports, and mental health. We hope that you sit down with us and listen to the show and maybe you take some useful information from it. And I hope you're having a blessed one. And away we go. Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are when you're listening to this. I hope you had a great day. I hope your day is going well. Hope everything's off to a great start for you. Before we get started with the episode, please hop down in the description, follow all the actual social media channels and everything. Like, you know, ask us questions, interact. We will respond. And, you know, keep support. You know, we've been getting a great, you know, outpour of people supporting, listening to the podcast. Our audience size has ballooned, like really amazing. In addition to that, man, you know, we also have a lot of videos that are getting a lot of views on our Instagram and our TikTok channel, as well as Facebook also. So, hey, man, dive in. You know, if you want us to cover something that deals with injuries, you know, wound care, you know, anything that's of the medical health field, if we can cover, we will. If we can't, we'll get somebody to do it for us. But with that being said, let's hop into today's episode. Today's episode is an episode near dear to my heart, something I really wanted to do recently. I just hadn't had time to do it, but I'm going to do it because I have a lot of people who actually deal with this injury, and that's ACL. But today we're going to talk about life after the surgery, right, for the rest of your life. So the title of today's episode is how to keep your knee strong after ACL surgery for the rest of your life. I know some people who are going to hear this are going to be excited about what I'm about to say. And hopefully with that, they take it, they use it, and get benefit from it. And if they can't get benefit from it, hopefully they can find us here at 3Gen Physical Therapy, and we'll help them get back to where they need to be and keep them going from there. So in today's episode, I'm going to cover three things. I'm going to cover life. Well, four things, I'm sorry. I'm going to cover life with an ACL injury, how to keep your knee from giving out, the aches are not uncommon, and then last, motion is a lotion, right? So life with the ACL injury, how to keep your knee from giving out, and then the aches are not uncommon, and last part is the motion is the lotion. So let's talk about the first piece, life with ACL injury. After you have an ACL reconstruction surgery, your ACL graft itself is not 100% of what it was prior to, but it's not, you know, an issue here. Unless you have multiple ACL injuries, then that becomes an issue. As we become an issue, what ends up happening is that you start to have another surgery, and then, or maybe you injure it and you have to have another reconstruction, then the actual graft itself starts to diminish in percentages. So let's say after actual ACL injury, your graft itself is about 70 to 85, 90% of what it was prior to the injury. And it's just because they took a ligament from somewhere else and put it in a place where it probably wasn't supposed to be there. So it's not going to be exactly like your ACL, but it's going to be equivalent or close enough to it where you won't see any residual issues with it. The biggest thing with the ACL injury is the surgery itself, due to the fact they have to actually drill holes into your bone. The actual placement of the graft, the amount of inflammation that occurs in that area, and the amount of actual stress and stuff that you have to put on that area in order to basically rehab your knee back to full strength. And as a result, your life with that injury starts to become kind of sort of a tedious task. And what I mean by that, this injury requires some constant attention, strengthening, activity, you know, things of that nature, right? And as a result, a lot of people don't know what to do or where to go or how to approach that, which leads me to the second part of the talk, which is how to keep your knee from giving out. There are three main muscle groups, and I'm going to keep it very basic for all. So for all my health professionals who are hearing this, there are obviously a lot more things that I need to probably address. But the three basic things for my everyday gym person to make sure that your knee that was reconstructed, you know, does not give out. It is going to be hamstring strength, concentrically, eccentrically, isometrically, as well as your quad and your calf strength. Okay. obviously some tibialis anterior, or that muscle that's in the front of your leg, on your lower part of your leg, but underneath your knee. That muscle is important too, but we're going to focus on the calf, quad, hamstring. If you have any type of actual giving out of the knee, what's probably happening is that you're having some hyperextension or some loss of control in stance. Basically, when you're taking a step and putting your foot down, your hamstring is not engaging, and as a result, it's not controlling the posterior movement or the backward movement or the locking out of your knee, so your knee feels like it's giving out. Also with that, you can have a giving out sensation when you're trying to go up something or walking, stepping up on something, where your quad doesn't engage, or you don't feel the actual control stability you need. As a result, it feels like you're about to collapse on your knee. Now, what I recommend is this. You want to do prone hamstring curls in your local gym, if you have one, right, of some kind, where you lay on your stomach and you get on the machine and you start to do prone hamstring single leg curls, controlling the up motion and really controlling the lower motion, the lowering motion. So when I kick my butt and when I let my leg go down and straighten back out, I suggest about 2 sets of 20 reps or 3 sets of 15 reps, some really high endurance, you know, nothing crazy heavy. So because you want to do all 15, the last 2-3 need to be very tough. The quad thing gets you about a 6 to 12 inch box to start with. And then you're going to progress up to about an 18 inch box, you know, about high enough. Maybe a 20 inch box for some people who are a little bit taller. You want to do single leg step ups, or what we call some single leg eccentric quad lowering. So basically, you're going to put your foot on a box. You're going to have 1 foot on the box, 1 foot that's kind of dangling off the box. So the actual knee that's injured is going to be on the box. That foot is going to be on the box. And you're going to just lower yourself by bending the knee that's on the box until your opposite foot contacts the floor. Okay. Now, I don't mean dropping your hips. If you have any questions about that, what it's going to look like, you're going to basically hinge at the hip or bend at your waist, poke your butt out, have your actual head coming forward, and keep your knee over your toes and lower yourself down and push yourself back up to full stance. That is one of the best exercises to do, especially if you don't have a leg press. We can just do single leg press. If you have a leg press, you can put your foot on a leg press, one leg at a time. You want to do about 2 sets of 20 of that also, or 3 sets of 15, you pick it. In addition to that, the last piece is that I like to do some good calf raises, but single leg calf raises and some balancing stuff. So in essence, get on an actual foam pad if you have one, or a surface that's not that stable, but something foam. Maybe you can put a pillow underneath your foot if you wanted to, if you don't have a foam pad. Or you can just balance on one leg on a flat floor or on your carpet. Not really a hardwood floor, but something like your carpet, a little bit unstable. And what you can do there is that you can do single leg balance, and you can take a dumbbell and put it in the same hand of the leg that you're standing on. And you want to do 2 sets of 20 where you have your leg stationary on the floor and your knee that's not injured, basically in a flex position, or basically your knee is up, and you want to just extend overhead with your arm that's on the same side of your body as the injury. And then you're gonna do 20 of those on that side, and then you're gonna switch hands, and guess what, you're gonna do 20 on the opposite side while you're standing on one leg. Those three exercises will get you to a place where your knee pain, the knee fatigue, and the giving out will diminish and possibly go away in its entirety. Okay. Now let's move to the last two parts. The aches. They're common. The reason they're common, because due to all the inflammation and the actual surgical procedure itself, you're going to have some residual degenerative effects of your knee. So the achiness is that constant, you know, tendonitis, you know, residual inflammation, you know, all that stuff that kind of sort of, although it's not a swollen knee, it's more of some intracapsular residual swelling that just comes from the nature of the injury and the surgical procedure, as well as the wear and tear that you put on it. So with that, it's not uncommon. Here's a trick. Stop putting ice on the top of your knee and start putting ice behind on the back of your knee. Okay, a lot less hard structures there, a lot more soft structures behind your knee. The ice is able to actually get to where it's trying to get to, as well as a constricted vessel behind your knee, your saphenous vein, which will help remove a lot of the swelling from out of your capsule. Okay, just a little trick there. So when you have the issue of the achiness, ice behind your knee, in a little bit of a in a little bit of a flex position or a bent knee position, you're just sitting on the bed, knee bent a little bit, ice pack right behind it. And then if you really want to get tough with it, you can do a hot cold type of deal where you put a heat pad on it and put ice on it. Put a heat pad, put ice on it, or you can do a hot tub to cold plunge if you have access to a gym. If you're in a cold plunge, I like 5 minutes. Some people say three, but I love five. I think five is a good number. As well as in hot tub, five feel good. Just round number, 10 minutes total will give you some relief, okay? And to keep the knee itself to a place where you only have to do it after you've done some pretty heavy activity, you know? So just be kind of sort of cognitive of how much you're doing that day. And the last bit is that motion is a lotion. Even if you can't do all the exercises I talked about, the three exercises, the thing that you need to do is ride bikes, swim, run, you know, stay active, stay moving, because the actual stuff you create in your joint, the hyaluronic acid itself, starts to help with the lubrication within the joint, and it'll start to basically make sure that achiness and that creakiness and all that stuff that you kind of sort of are encountering is not as, you know, intense, you know, it's a little bit more dissipated. So motion is a lotion. So any activity you can do that, you know, allows your knee to move a lot more. I prefer, you know, doing some running, but I also prefer some non-weight bearing stuff, like some decreased weight bearing, like elliptical, swimming, bike riding, you know, stuff like that will definitely give your knee the weight bearing it needs, or the rest it needs after you do some hard, as well as keeps the actual knee moving. And this creates an actual environment where you're getting that lotion, quote unquote, that help your knee be able to sustain you over the rest of your life. If you have any more questions about what I talked about today, please feel free to leave these questions in the comments. You can also, you know, give us an actual shout on our actual social media pages. We will post videos about this stuff also. But at the same time, what you also want to make sure you do is that before you get started, you want to make sure that you really take time to kind of sort of get your knee some time to be warmed up also. Okay, so don't just go right into these exercises, you know. Do a little bit of bike, 5 minutes, a little heat or something. And then if you got any questions, you got a therapist that you love, you know, go to them. You know, they'll be able to direct you also. And hopefully, you know, they can help, be great, but they can't, just come find us. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, hope you had a blessed one. I'll catch you in the next one.